Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Dennis, and I am here with Rick, and we are delighted to have a few minutes today to get together to do some study. Today is October 17, 2020. And again, we are delighted that you have taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule to join us here on blogtalkradio.com/SOT for our program. Today's program is episode 1191. And we are, again, amazed that we have that many programs. Those are one-hour programs, by the way, or mostly one-hour programs. I looked at the number of hours. We have 1,177 hours of broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. So thank you for joining us. That is my dog barking at Mike, who is coming in. So we'll let him come in, and then afterwards I'll get him his coffee and breakfast. You know, it's too bad that Mike showed up a little late and is walking in during our lead-in, but we won't hold that against him. Good morning, Mike. Top of the morning to you, too. Come on and join us. Our website is, our website is spiritoftruthministry.net. There you can find a copy of our book, The Spirit of the Church. You can also find a lot of writing by Rick Sterling. You can go to our other website, our original website at spiritoftruthministry.net/SM. There you're going to find a lot of writing still by Rick and then some by the rest of us. And these two websites give you the basic background as to what Spirit of Truth Ministry is, what we are doing, and what our goals are for getting the truth out to the world. Let us have prayer, and then we will get started. Father in heaven, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we long for a time when we are no longer slaves, but we have set ourselves free from sin by becoming righteous, so that the penalty that you paid, the ransom that you paid, can count for us. I pray, Father, that you will, in your great mercy, join us today with your Holy Spirit and lead us into truth. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Mike.
Morning.
Good morning, Rick. Nice to see you. I'm going to go ahead and shut my mic off just for a minute and get Mike some coffee and a little breakfast, and then I'll be back.
I was thinking about a alternative account of the garden. The garden of the paradise of God, where the man and the woman known as Adam and Eve lived. And that fateful day when the serpent, the devil, and Satan lied to them in such a way that it made them wonder, and it made them doubt the truth that God had told them about what would happen if they were to ever eat from that tree, the tree of learning the knowledge of good and evil. And thinking about today, what's going on today? What is going on today is that the world is not irretrievably wicked. In fact, the world is basically good. The world is the people of the world, not the leaders so much of the world, but the people.
Can you plug that in again?
But the people of the world. Caring. What about there?
No.
The cable. Where is the cable plugged in?
No,
the red one. Yeah. There. Is it? That's better. See?
Well, I got this one here. Keep going.
Okay. We're just trying to get make sure that they
use that. And
okay.
It out.
Anyway. The people of the world care for and about their fellow man. They care about their neighbor. They make sure their neighbor is doing fine if they're an elderly person. They're willing and ready to help out when they can. This is not a example of the love of most will grow cold, as stated by the Son of God in his prophecy describing the end of days and the end of the age. There is a concerted effort today on the part of the devil and his human slaves, those in government, in the government and in the world organizations, such as the World Economic Forum, the World Health Organization, the World Trade Organization, the United Nations, and various other world councils and organizations, European Union. These are individuals who have a set agenda, an agenda to control all the people of the world, to enslave them. They do this through lies and manipulation, manipulation of information, manipulation of currency, manipulation of reality. Yesterday, I read from Revelation 10, and I said that the only thing that I can do, the only way I can explain and understand the purpose of Revelation chapter 10 is that it is a different reality than the one described in Revelation. even different than the one described in Matthew 24 and 25 to a certain extent, that the Son of God gave to his disciples. And for those who may not have heard, when I read this before, I might say, well, hey, wait a minute. Why would God's Son tell the disciples something that wasn't true? I've heard that. And I'm not saying that he would lie or tell them something that wasn't true. God has always given humans the ability to determine their own future, and they determine their future based upon the character of their heart, what they have in their intellect, how they choose to behave, particularly in regard to their fellow men. And what he said in Jeremiah chapter 18, he gave this information to Jeremiah, and it is in a very unique place. God had told Jeremiah to go to the potter's house. A potter who forms clay pots. Jeremiah observed what the potter would do. Starting with verse 1 of Jeremiah chapter 18. The word that was addressed to Jeremiah by Yahweh. Get up and make your way down to the potter's house. There I shall let you hear what I have to say. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at the wheel. And whenever the vessel he was making came out wrong, as happens with the clay handled by potters, he would start afresh and work it into another vessel, as potters do. Then this word of Yahweh was addressed to me, House of Israel. Cannot I do to you what this potter does? It is Yahweh who speaks. Yes, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so you are in mine, House of Israel. On occasion, I decree for some nation, for some kingdom, that I will tear up, knock down, destroy. But if this nation, against which I have pronounced sentence, abandons its wickedness, I then change my mind about the evil which I had intended to inflict on it. On another occasion, I decree for some nation, for some kingdom, that I will build up and plant. But if that nation does what displeases me, refusing to listen to my voice, I then change my mind about the good which I had intended to confer on it.
It seems like Jonah never read that. And if he had, I wonder if he would have behaved differently toward Nineveh.
Well, Jonah was a prophet, much like Jeremiah was a prophet. And God told Jeremiah that, but he told him after the event. I can see the rationale and the wisdom in that. Because you remember what I have said all along, Dennis. God does nothing but that he teaches something. What I see happening today, and this, the key nation in the world today is the United States of America. It is the key nation, which will, the what happens in the United States will affect the whole world. Donald Trump is not just the president of the United States right now. He is the president of the world.
As the United States goes, so goes the world.
As I said a couple weeks ago, the Cardinal of the Catholic Church, Marie Carlo Vigano, or Vigano, he said, if Donald Trump is not reelected, the world leadership is already to affect a totalitarian, tyrannical regime across the whole world. Would God allow that to happen? Because the only way that Donald Trump could lose this election, and I'm telling you this matter of fact, the only way he could lose this election is that the left and the leftists are able to cheat and steal it. That is the only way. Now, I think about the garden again. The man and the woman in the garden. What did they do? Did they willingly pick the fruit and eat it? Yes, they did. The devil had been successful in making them want to be wise like the gods. But what if the serpent had picked the fruit and forced them to eat it, had shoved it in their mouth, and they were unwilling, but he did it anyway?
They would not have been held accountable for that action or the result.
And so that's what I'm saying about today. The people of the world are worshiping a God they do not know, but they are worshiping God. And they care about their fellow men. The majority of the world cares about their fellow men. Their love has not grown cold. So those words of God delivered to us by Jeremiah the prophet from the potter's house, what we see is that God can decree death and destruction to a nation or to a world. But if that nation or the world rejects the way of evil and follows the way of love and care for their fellow man, God can change his mind about the destruction that he's going to bring. But what I see is that the devil is hell-bent on bringing about the death and destruction as described in Revelation. He is going to force it through deceit and lies and thievery. He is going to force the people into his hell on earth. But guess what?
Okay, well,
God is not going to allow it. That would be like the devil picking the fruit and cramming it into the mouth of the man and the woman who were protesting and trying to keep not from disobeying God.
So the thousands and thousands of ballots that are being found in trash cans and watery graves and being thrown into, you know, postal workers throwing them away are not going to make any difference to the result of this election.
Not unless God doesn't behave in the manner in which he said he behaves. And I don't see, I mean, that would make God a liar. For example, this laptop that they found that belonged to Hunter Biden, with all the horrific pictures and very incriminating emails on the hard drive.
Pictures that were so bizarre and awful that the people who found them actually threw up.
The investigating agency, the FBI, instead of investigating the truth of what's on the hard drive, are investigating to see whether Russia was involved in hacking this computer. Yeah. Lie, cheat, steal, and deceive. That is what the devil wants. That is how he works. But have no fear.
There you go.
God has this one. Matthew chapter 20, starting with verse 30 or 20 and going to 28. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came with her sons to make a request of him and bowed low. And he said to her, "What is it you want?" She said to him, "Promise that these two sons of mine may sit one at your right hand and the other at your left in your kingdom. You do not know what you're asking," Jesus answered. "Can you drink the cup that I am going to drink?" They replied, "We can." "Very well," he said. "You shall drink my cup. But as for seats at my right hand and my left, these are not mine to grant. They belong to those to whom they have been allotted by my Father." When the other 10 heard this, they were indignant with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that among the pagans, the rulers lord it over them, and their great men make their authority felt.
This is not to happen among you.
No.
Everyone who wants to be great among you must be your servant. And anyone who wants to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many.
There's a key word in there. Ransom.
A noun. A sum of money or other payment demanded or paid for the release of a prisoner.
And to give his life as a ransom for many.
We were talking about this before the program, and the word that came to my mind was specie. The payment needs to be, as you put it, as the scripture put it, in kind. If you cannot pay a ransom with something that will not be accepted. It has to be acceptable to the person holding the prisoner in thrall. And in the case of Jesus, what was that? Jesus was wholly righteous. So can he
but
ransom anyone?
Why was he holy? What was he whole of?
Full of righteousness. No.
And what is righteousness?
Well, the common one is it's right doing, but in this case, it is also right being.
If you make my word your home, and you will indeed be my disciples, and you will learn the truth, and the truth will make you free.
And by the way, that's interesting because there's a lot of people, there's some translations that say set you free. In fact, there's a church that uses that as their title of their church. But the truth doesn't set anyone free. It makes them free.
Talking about specie, right?
Specie, right.
So the specie in this case is what?
The words. Truth.
Yeah, it's words, but that's what truth is. I mean, right. Truth is action
based upon words
that you hold in your intellect. They answered, "We are descended from Abraham, and we have never been the slaves of anyone." What do you mean? You will be made free. Jesus replied, "I tell you most solemnly, everyone who commits sin is a slave. Now the slave's place in the house is not assured, but the son's place is assured. So if the son makes you free. How does the Son, here in this case, make you free?
by giving you the words that will make you righteous so that you can remain in the house.
You will learn the truth, and the truth will
make
you free. I know that you are descended from Abraham, but in spite of that, you want to kill me because nothing I say has penetrated into you. What I, for my part, speak of is what I have seen with my father. But you put into action the lessons learnt from your father. And later on, he says, he says, and this is in verse 43, do you know why you cannot take in what I say? It is because you are unable to understand my language. The devil is your father, and you prefer to do what your father wants. He was a murderer from the start. He was never grounded in the truth. There is no truth in him at all. When he lies, he's drawing on his own store. Because he is a liar and the father of lies. Ransom. I give my life as a ransom for many. Have you ever wondered why God didn't tell any of his prophets, or didn't even tell Moses, that salvation would be very simple? It was obvious that the children of Israel preferred to worship the gods of Egypt and the gods of Canaan, the gods of the nations around them. But because God, the God of Israel, loved them so much, he was going to send his son and put him to death so that the people could be saved anyway. They could still worship their false gods, but through the death of the Son of God, they could all be saved. No. What the Son of God said was that he was going to make free those who learned and kept his words, the truth, in their intellect. It was the truth that set them free, not the death of the Son of God that set them free. What the death of the Son of God did was it ransomed, it paid the ransom for those who had been freed because they had learned the truth. And they would no longer be slaves of sin. So what the Son of God did was he ransomed them from death by paying the price that the man and the woman in the garden incurred. They were not put to death on the day that they disobeyed and ate of that fruit. They had submitted to the devil by believing what he said and acting on it. And God needed to pay that price, the price the man and the woman never paid. With that price being paid, all those who had learned the truth and had been freed of slavery to sin and slavery to the one to whom lies and liars come and are slaves to, they will be in his kingdom. And the evil one will have no claim to them because they have been ransomed by their king and their priest. Now turn to Revelation chapter 10. We read this yesterday, and I want to go through it again. When you read Revelation, you see a certain consistent pattern. Revelation starts out with a message to seven assemblies, each one having a certain message. And then you see that there is a scroll or a book that is in the right hand of the Father, and that someone who is qualified to take the book out of the Father's hand is the only one who can take that book out of the Father's hand and is the only one who can break the seals ultimately to open the book. And inside that book or that scroll are the names of people of the earth who have been given back access to eternal life. People who have eternal life. The man and the woman in the garden lost access to the tree of life when they were expelled from the garden. Expelled from the garden just like wicked Israel was expelled from the promised land for the same reasons. God has looked at the world today, and he sees good people. They may not be righteous, but they are good. And the reason they're not righteous is that they haven't had anyone teach them the truth. I think that God is about ready to change that. I think that God is about ready to bring the truth to the people of the world either shortly before or shortly after this election. Things are going to change. And the future that most Christians have expected will not be what they expected. And here's why I say that. Revelation 10 is in an interlude period. Seven churches, seven seals, and six trumpets are described. And then Revelation 10. It's interesting that Revelation 10 comes right between the sixth trumpet and the seventh in Revelation. Another thing that I would like you to consider is, why is the information that we read in Revelation 10 there? Why is it there? There's no reason for Revelation 10 to be in Revelation, except for what I have been telling you, and I'll tell you again. What we read in Revelation is what I would call the death road. It is a world under a rule by oligarchs, a committee of rulers, rulers who blaspheme God, and imprison, torture, and kill all those who will not submit to their rule. War on an exponential scale, and God is also delivering blow after blow from the heavens. A third of the trees and all the green grass is burnt up. A third of the sea is turned to blood. A third of the sea creatures die. A third of the ships are destroyed. A third of the fresh water is poisoned. The sun is darkened. The moon doesn't give its light. It's turned to blood. And the stars in the heavens fall. And then the release from the abyss of the devil and his angels who hit the earth with pain and suffering.
On an unimaginable scale.
And in all this, God has servants testifying to the truth. Revelation 10, though, promises a whole different prophecy concerning many different nations, countries, languages, and empires. It's a secret. It's a secret intention. So if it's a secret, and the secret wasn't to be known until the end, It's clear that this secret would never be known unless God came back and told someone what the seven thunders said that were in Revelation 10. For God to put this here in Revelation, between the sixth and the seventh trumpet description, tells me that God is giving a very strong hint that things may not be as described in Revelation.
And one thing, Rick, that we know that it isn't what is already described in Revelation. It isn't anything like it. Because it can't be. Why would God reiterate something that's already there?
And John was told not to write down what he heard. So if we could read it in some other part of Revelation, John would have written it down, which would be exactly against what God had told him.
Exactly. Yes.
Don't write it down.
Right.
So the only reason, logical reason, that I can see that God would have even done this is that he's letting, and I believe it's probably the faithful and wise bondservant, because John is here in the place of the faithful and wise bondservant. I think that John may be one of the 24 elders. I don't think that God is going to send John down here to go through the last days, whatever those may be.
And this also would define what the faithful and wise servant isn't, and that is somebody that is already in heaven that comes back to earth.
And the other thing is, if John were going to be here at the end of the days, God wouldn't have put this here because he wouldn't have needed to. He'd just send John down here and John would be able to, knowing what the seven thunders said. So, my understanding of why Revelation 10 was included in Revelation is that it is a life road reality as opposed to the death road reality of Revelation. And that's why I read Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah at the potter's house. And what God says about the potter and the clay. And he says, look, if I tell a nation that I'm going to give them, pour out judgments on them and destroy them, but if they don't do the wicked and the evil, if they recognize me and worship me, just as the potter has the right to change the vessel that he's making, I have the right to change my mind about the evil I was going to do. And after all, I see this as the victory that God has been working for millennia. God, particularly with the children of Israel, he wanted them to be a righteous nation full of truth so that they would be the beacon of light to the other nations around them. And the whole world would be blessed because of Israel. Because Israel demonstrated that their God was the only true God. God has wanted this more than anything, but he cannot force it on anyone. He will not force it on anyone. But it could very well be that because the people of the world today have not become like the people just before the flood that I read about yesterday, where every thought of their heart was to wickedness and wickedness only, and the truth could not penetrate their hard hearts. That is not the case today. The people may not know God, but they're keeping the second great commandment of God. And that is, love your neighbor as yourself. Keep the words of the seven thunderclaps secret. Do not write them down. The mighty angel made a statement. And the mighty angel said, the time of waiting is over. The time of waiting is over. What? Waiting? Who's waiting? Is God waiting? Are we waiting?
Waiting for what?
What are we waiting for? Well, if God is waiting, I can understand that. What would God be waiting for? To see if the people of earth would keep the second great commandment. If the people of earth had not hardened their hearts to the point where they would not receive the truth, even if it was presented to them. God has been waiting for a kingdom on earth, his kingdom on earth. He has been waiting for that from the time that he created the man and the woman in the garden. Now, he did not create them in the garden. He created the man outside of the garden. But you know what I'm saying. At that time. And then he had to expel them from the garden. And then he called the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob out of Egypt expressly to make them his kingdom, but they would not allow him to do that. Waiting for a people who would learn the truth, thereby entering his kingdom, allowing him to work with the people of earth who were good, but who did not know the truth and did not know the God of truth. Waiting. The time of waiting is about over. And then it says at the time when the seventh angel is heard sounding his trumpet, God's secret intention will be fulfilled, just as he announced in the good news told to his servants, the prophets. And I heard the voice I had heard from heaven speaking to me again. Go, it said, and take the open scroll out of the hand of the angel standing on the sea and the land. I went to the angel and asked him to give me the small scroll. And he said, take it and eat it. will turn your stomach sour, but in your mouth it will taste as sweet as honey. So I took it out of the angel's hand and swallowed it. It was as sweet as honey in my mouth, but when I had eaten it, my stomach turned sour. Then I was told, you are to prophesy again, this time about many different nations and countries and languages and emperors. It may be that the placement of this information between the sixth trumpet and the seventh trumpet is significant. The life road, now what I believe that the trumpets are for, the trumpets were blown to announce the holy feasts, convocations, but specifically in the seventh month, the trumpet would sound every day for 10 days. The 10 days that led up to the Day of Atonement. The trumpet sounding each day was a wake up and pay attention because judgment is about here. The seventh trumpet, or each trumpet had a specific type of event or occurrence tied to it. The first six are definitely death road occurrences. The seventh, though, is a proclamation. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet. This is Revelation 11:15. And voices could be heard shouting in heaven, calling, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his anointed, and he will reign forever and ever. The 24 elders enthroned in the presence of God prostrated themselves and touched the ground with their foreheads, worshiping God with these words, we give thanks to you, Almighty Lord God. He is and he was, for using your great power and beginning your reign. Life road or death road are going to end in the final judgment. People who accepted the truth will be in the kingdom of God, and those who rejected the truth will be in the kingdom of the world. And those in the kingdom of the world, along with the ruler of the kingdom of the world and all of his spiritual associates, will be destroyed forever. And then we will live in the earth as the kingdom of God, as it says in Daniel 2. And the rock, the stone, grew until it filled the whole earth.
Thank you, Rick, and wow. Between yesterday and today, that is the most succinct and complete explanation of the new prophecies that I have ever heard. And thank you for that, Rick. I encourage our listeners to go to our website at spiritoftruthministry.net/SOT. blogtalkradio.com/SOT. And you can download today's recording and any number of the 1,191 programs. We encourage you to join us next week for our show on Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific time. See you then.